This is your Commander-in-Chief. I'm issuing a warning. The following podcast contains adult content and intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm solo today. Having a rough couple days. I started doing jiu-jitsu when I can. I've been going to 10th Planet. Jared Karsten, he's a great teacher. Karsten, is there an L there?
Yeah, it's Karsten.
An L to Karsten. So I've been going, and I really do enjoy it. I think it's a fun activity. I like lose weight, and it's good for the soul. I never went to a jiu-jitsu class where I left going, man, I fucking wish I hadn't gone there. I always leave feeling better than I did, except for this time, because what happened was, I don't know. I think if you listen to the show, I'll rehash. But about a month ago, I took a class, and this kid put me in this thing called the electric chair. It's an Eddie Bravo move, and it's, you know, when you're inside control from the top, the guy on bottom does this kind of weird sweep where you end up with your leg basically behind his head, and you're in some kind of split position, and it's a way to submit a guy who's on top. And you know, I do have a pretty good wrestling background. I sometimes forget that it was 20 years ago when I won the prep school New England Class A championships. I mean, it was 1996, literally, was when I won it. I won it 94 years, 92, but 96 was the last year I won it. And I'm 36 now, but I sometimes forget that it was 20 years. It's a long time. So I still sometimes I get too high from the top position. I feel like I still go for the pin, which is not really what you want to do in jiu-jitsu, because I was too high and I got caught in that move. But because of maybe it's like false pride or maybe it's ego, I'm like, I didn't tap when I should have. I should have just known. I thought, okay, I can get out of this. I always think I can get out of this. And I heard a pop from the back of my calf, and the kids stopped. The whole class ran over. Are you okay? I was okay. I walked it off, but then I had three flights that night, and just sitting in terrible positions. And then my leg got swole for a couple days, but it was feeling okay. I definitely felt like it was slower, and it hurt when I bent it, but it didn't hurt. You know, I'm from the old school of wrestling, of just walk it off. You know, I literally remember that one time my junior year in the New England wrestling tournament, I was the number four seed actually going to the tournament, but my ankle was really fucked, and the guy who did the athletic trainer was like, you can't wrestle in the tournament. I was like, no way, I'm wrestling. So he goes, I'm gonna bend your ankle, and if you show any sign with your eyes of it hurting, you're not gonna wrestle. I'm like, no problem. So he bent my ankle all different ways. It killed. I didn't show him a fucking sign. I was like, I'm wrestling. And I ended up winning that tournament. But that's my old school mentality. I'm not as tough as I used to be. I'm not claiming to be a tough guy, so please don't get the wrong impression if you're listening to this podcast. But anyway, so I do this class, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, I'm back in boxing class over at, Fortune Gym, and I was hiking, and I still felt a little slow. Even when I was teaching the kids the moves, I felt slow. So fast forward to Saturday, I'm in class, and this kid who was going hard, even in drilling, is going pretty hard, which I happen to like, because in wrestling, you go hard when you drill. In jiu-jitsu, you go way lighter and softer and more gentle, and it's a weird pacing, but both of them work for me. I guess the older I get, the more lazier I'm getting, which tends to favor the jiu-jitsu. But this kid, we were rolling hard, and he got me. I was in, you know, I was in half guard again, and doing my stupid pinning position, going for a guillotine, which you're not going to get on a blue belt from half guard. It's just, or even anybody. But I was like, all right, I'm going to try to get this. And he hit it with me again, but I tapped this time. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to be an idiot. So then we go to the feet, which is like, okay, I'm on my feet. This is where takedowns. This is where I'm actually, I could actually do some damage here, even though you have to be careful not to leave my neck out to get guillotine and stuff like that. And I went for a shot, and my whole neck, my whole leg gave out. My leg just shattered. I mean, it bent to all the way to the left, crashing to the mat, and I was holding it like I just got shot. I was like, ow, 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 and the whole class came over. They all said they heard a huge pop, and I went to the hospital. You know, I mean, I didn't have to go right to the hospital. I drove home. Well, I walked my dog because my dog needed to be walked, and to make sure my dog was walked. And then I had two shows that night, so I went to the hospital. The doctor said, You tore your ACL, but because you're walking on it, maybe you don't need surgery. So I did two shows that night, and actually, this girl that I've been trying to hook, I've been dating, she came with me, and I ended up sleeping with her that night on her bunk bed. Yeah, she has a bunk bed. Now, she's 28 years old. She just happens to have like a studio apartment where she cleared out the bottom, so it's like you have to climb up it. I know, it is kind of weird. I get it. You're like, but whatever. You would bang this girl on a fucking bunk bed too if you're listening. Okay, so unless you're a girl in cage space, maybe you scissor, whatever. So, but I couldn't move my leg when I'm having sex because I was like, I was lying there like a hot chick. You know, like a really hot chick was like, I have to do nothing right now. that's how I was. I was the hot chick that didn't move his leg. But anyway, so then I did another show last night and a show the night after that, and I'm here. So I got my MRI results today, and the doctor told me that if I want to continue doing any kind of jiu-jitsu or wrestling or anything that needs lateral movement or any kind of cutting exercises, I have to go get surgery. And, you know, it's hard because, you know, I am 36. My dad's like, what are you doing? How long are you going to do this for? What's wrong with you? I go, Dad, a lot of athletes go there. You're not an athlete. What are you doing? You're come on, man. And it's hard because literally I'm wearing a mouth guard because I have a fake tooth, which could come flying out at any time. I just spent like $6,000 getting my tooth implanted and all that other stuff. And now I have a fucked up leg, and I have cauliflower ear that I had surgery on in 2000. I had reconstructive surgery because my ear used to be, there was no MMA back then. My ear was the size of, it was like Dan Henderson's ear. So I have a lot to lose, and I'm like, man, do I even need to be doing this? What's the point? So I put on Twitter, you know, what do you guys feel about surgery? And it's funny because I got some good responses. A lot of people tell me don't go to Dominic Cruz's doctor. Ronda Rousey's mom emailed me back, which is, it's always great to have Ronda Rousey's mom. And Mitch Clark. Ronda Rousey's mom said, Mitch Clark said, man, take care of it and don't rush back too soon. Knee injuries are no joke. And then Ronda Rousey's mom said, you're going to need to get it fixed regardless. Just do it. And she recommended Santa Monica Orthopedic Group, which would be great, but I have Kaiser Permanente, and I have a $2,000 deductible, so it's going to cost me like $2,300 to fix, which that's not how much I wanted to spend Saturday for jiu-jitsu class. I don't know. Evan, what do you recommend?
Get it done.
Just get it done?
Absolutely get it done. It's going to drive you crazy. It's going to be a problem for the rest of your life if you don't.
Right. Okay.
There's no reason to not get it done. It's not like break the bank, but fucked expensive, right, especially since you have health insurance. So,
but am I just asking for trouble? Keep training and wrestling and jiu-jitsu? And see, it's hard with 10th Planet because I like 10th Planet. Don't get me wrong. It's extremely effective, as you can see, as far as like submitting guys and stuff. It's hard because I'm coming in from a weird background and like a lot, you know, I feel like I'm joining an ongoing class. Versus like joining like a jiu-jitsu for dummies or just beginning jiu-jitsu or here's an armbar and here's a guillotine and here's a heel hook and here's that versus like, you know, okay, we're doing, you know, here's the nipple twister from the side control mount to the, you know, I mean, what Eddie Bravo teaches is great. Sometimes I wish I was more flexible. I think it caters to the people that are more flexible, and I guess that comes with time. But it's, I'm enjoying it. It's just hard. I am enjoying it. There was like three people in the class that day and they were all like guys who've been going for a long time and stuff. And, I don't know. I'm kind of a little bummed, but you know, this is what happens is sports injuries, right? I mean, if you do jiu-jitsu or wrestling or boxing, you're going to get fucking fucked up a little bit. And that's just, the way the cookie crumbles, right? I gotta just harden the fuck up, as Jason Ellis would say. So, but yeah, so that was my week. I've been home icing my knee, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, now I gotta start eating healthier because I know, like, the one thing good about working out is that you can eat like shit, and it doesn't necessarily like it stacks up on you. But you know, to me, it's like working out and eating healthy is like having a girlfriend and wearing a condom. Like, what's the fucking point? Like, I do one. One's the benefit of not doing the other. Like, I'm not going to wear a condom with my girlfriend. I know that, you know, obviously you pull out and birth control and use pills and this and that. But if I'm going to spend the time going to the gym, I'm going to have, you know, Java chip ice cream and lasagna because I know I'm going to work it out. I mean, give me a break. But now that I can't work out, I'm going to have to start juicing or, I don't know, eating, going to organic foods or eating gluten-free or some other nonsense. Anyway, listen, we got Rashad Evans coming on the show. Enough about me. We're calling him right now. I got all kinds of questions for Rashad Evans. Thank you for listening. Sorry that I've just been venting about my... No, I'm not sorry. It's my fucking podcast. What am I apologizing to you guys for? Anyway, we're going to call Rashad Evans right now. I hope he picks up. Come on, Rashad.
Hello?
Hey, Rashad Evans.
Hey, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, it's Adam Hunter at the MMA Roasted Podcast. Good talking to you. Good hearing your voice.
Man, hey, I'm glad I'm on this week, man. Last week was a little bit of complications making you look bad. See, you thought I was standing at the show.
That was not my fault. That was Evan Evan the Beard. Just so you know, Evan the Beard didn't know how to put in a plug into the wall. But So
that's all good, man. That's all good.
So you got your big fight coming up against Glover Teixeira, February 22nd in Brazil. Tell me, man, are you nervous? You excited? What's going through your head right now?
Man, I'm a little bit of everything, you know, mixed emotions. You know, Glover's definitely, you know, one of the toughest guys in the weight class. That goes without saying, to be honest. And, you know, I mean, being off for a year and just – getting back into the grind and training hard again and just stepping into the octagon again. You know, I've been in the UFC about 9 years now, and being in the cage is never something you get used to. It's always like if you don't have that feeling of that anxiety, that you know, that little bit of fear and everything else, that whole anticipation, then you should be in the cage, and I definitely will have that.
Is it hard to get up for him because you're ranked higher versus a guy like John Jones, who's a champion, or someone like that's ranked higher than you?
Honestly speaking, I don't know. Rankings don't really mean nothing, man, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, rankings are, you know, something for the public to look at and, you know, whatever else they're used for. But for the most part, you know, I don't think that he's going to be thinking, oh, man, he's ranked higher than me. You know, he's going to be tough. He's going to be tougher than me. You know, I mean, they mean nothing. You know, you go out there and you fight hard, and anybody can get beat no matter what their rank is.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And are you watching the Phil Davis fight with him and then kind of, is that, and the John Jones fight as far as an outline to beat him?
You know, I watched a couple of those fights. You know, I learned a lot from even the Bader fight, the fight that he won. You know, Bader got off on a good punch on a good combination. But, you know, Glover's tough, though, man. You know, he's hard to just be like, okay, well, you know, that's the way to beat him. You know, everybody's different. Everybody's styles match up different. And, you know, I just got to see what's going to happen February 22nd. But I'm 100% confident in my ability to go out there and to deal with his pressure, his size, and you know, his punching power, all of that. You know, I got the perfect training partner in Thiago Silva to help me, you know, deal with Glover's style.
Now, I heard Thiago Silva gets the most chicks out of anyone in the Black Zillions. Is that true?
Does he get the most chicks?
Yeah.
I don't even know, to be honest, man. I don't even know, man.
You don't know who gets the most out of all the Black Zillions, who gets the most chicks?
Out of all the Black Zillions?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't, you know what, I don't even know, man, I don't want to put nobody out there like that, you know what I'm saying? I think probably Abel Trujillo will probably get the most chicks.
That makes sense. Now the Black Zillions, I mean...
It's the eyes, that girl's like, yeah, I'm like, oh my God, look at his eyes! And right. It's over after that, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally hear you. Now, speaking of the Black Zillions, I know Anthony Johnson just got reinstated. Were you nervous about that, him, as far as, like, he might not be able to fight again?
You know, I knew once the truth shook out, then everything would be cool, but it's just a matter of having it having it, you know, all come to light. You know, it's in the world we live in today, you got to be super careful almost about every single thing, every interaction. And you never know, you know, how things are going to be interpreted once it's heard from one side. I mean,
right.
You know, if you look at the even Bill Cosby situation, before he even had a day of court, everybody's out. And like, he's guilty. And
yeah, but there was, yeah,
you know,
but
a bunch of.
But I mean, I believe Bill for the first 16 girls. But then when they got to 47, I was like, come on, this is getting ridiculous. I mean, this is, hello? Hello? Rashad?
Yeah, I hear you. What'd you say again? I had to yell at my son real quick.
Oh, I said I understood. I actually believed Bill for the first like two or three girls, but then when it got to 67, I'm like, you know, I mean.
Well, see, I still believe him. Let me tell you why I believe him.
Come on.
Because if listen. Let me tell you why. If they thinking like, oh well, if four girls came out, then the other girls had any kind of interaction, is thinking what? Oh, he's gonna start paying up because he want people to get out. So you want people to start, you know, be quiet about the thing. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's trying to make that money, man. They're trying to make that quick buck.
These girls are 70 years old. They're coming out of the club. These aren't like world star hip hop dancers. These are girls, 90-year-old women from Boca Raton that are coming out of the closet.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, if they're that old now, then, you know what I'm saying? They're just trying to get paid, man. I think they're just trying to get paid. And whether they are trying to get paid or not, the truth of the matter is, he should have his day in court before everybody accused him in the court of public opinion.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You're right about that. But the women are not getting paid. These girls are pay for the funeral costs? I mean, these are some old ladies.
No, they're old. But I heard the first lady talk about her situation, and I'm just like, come on, that's ridiculous. She said that the first situation happened like. He gave her the drug, and then she took it, and then she felt funny. And then after that, something happened. And then after that, she said she continued to have a relationship with him, so she continued to call him and continue to have a relationship with him. Now, if you felt something bad happened, why would you keep on calling him?
Listen, but you can't fault the victims here. I mean, there's people that like get beat up by their husbands, and then they keep going back, and you can't say, well, it's their fault. If you're a victim of rape, but you're a victim of rape, the one thing doesn't do with the other. And these women have the exact same stories.
Wait a minute. I hear what you're saying on that fault. Like if sometimes with when things happen like that, yeah, you can't fault the victim, but the situation where you feel like something happened and then you keep putting yourself in the same situation, then that goes beyond, okay, at some point it becomes your fault. If I keep going to somebody's house who keeps on attacking me, and I know every single time it happened the first time and it happened the second time, then, well, you know what? And I'm going to stop going to his house. Some point it becomes my fault.
At some point it becomes both their faults. You know,
of course, it obviously becomes, if I'm the one who's abusing, then obviously it's my fault off the jump. But at some point, if you're allowing them to abuse you, then at some point you got to take your accountability for the whole
thing.
You're right.
Of course. But that's one girl. What about the other 727 women?
I don't. I don't know all the other cases. All I'm saying is that no matter what the situation is, and I don't know every single case in detail, and I'm not saying that. 100% he did not do it or whatever, I would say here's something that needs to be happening. One, it needs to be a court. It needs to be a trial. He needs to have his day in court before he's found guilty in public opinion. And two, you have to understand the fact that there's a huge financial side for everybody that's involved trying to get paid. I mean, come on, you don't wait this long for something to come out and be like, well, he was so powerful. Now, if Bill Clinton, the most powerful man in the world, got his situation blown up, now, come on, who's Bill Cosby?
But a lot of those women might have said something, but no one was believing them until all of a sudden it became this public thing, and then they were coming out and saying, see, I told you, but no one was listening before. Because a lot of those women...
I think a lot of people just want to believe that something bad about people. I don't know.
I agree. You're absolutely right. People do love jumping on bandwagons. They love saying this person's guilty before proven. That people are.
Yeah, that's not right.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you're absolutely right. And it's not fair because once your name gets thrown in the mud, It's not like all of a sudden everyone goes, oh, well, I just forgot about it. They just move on to the next person to make fun of, you know? So
that's the sick part about our society is that, yeah, we will build somebody up, love to build them up. But there's nothing better than building somebody up than just breaking them down and watching them fall. That's to build that person up. And that's the sad, sick part about our society and about, you know, what we call entertainment.
I completely agree, Rashad. We are in cahoots, Ben. Now, speaking of Brazil, are you worried about having to get a finish because it's in Brazil?
I know when you're in Brazil, the fights happen fast. They go out and fight at a really high pace, and they're all juiced up because they're out there, and they got the fans cheering them on. So I know it's going to be a fast fight. I know it's going to be, he can come out behind. So I'm ready for it, man. I'm excited for it. I'm ready for it. I think that I'm not looking for the finish. I'm not looking to go out there and try to fight, you know what I'm saying, like crazy at a crazy pace. I'm just going to go out there and let it do what it do.
Now, are you going to afterwards bang all the Brazilian chicks? Because I know that they love they love muscular black guys that are stars, that like are UFC stars.
I might have some health issues if I go out there and bang all the Brazilian girls out there.
Not all of them, but are you at least gonna bang five? I mean, come on, let's be honest here.
maybe five.
Really?
Nah, I don't know, man. I'm not gonna do that, man. I'm a good boy, man. I'm part of the good boy crew.
That's bullshit. You're not married anymore. You're not married. Look, you're Rashad Evans, man.
I'm a good boy, man. I don't get down like that. Come on. Are you kidding me?
The girls aren't going to twerk on your face.
TV. I don't get down like that. I'm a good guy.
There's going to be no chicks twerking on your face in Brazil?
What do you think?
Are they going to twerk on your face? Is that possible?
Are they going to twerk on my face?
Yeah.
I might watch. I might go to one. See they're talking about one of the clubs. See what kind of twerking they're really doing. See if they can hang up to, KOD or something like that. King of Diamonds in Miami. But we'll see.
Nice. Oh, man. Can I work your corner? Because I'll come and
Yeah, you can work my corner, but you actually got to do some work, though, you know?
Oh, no problem.
You got to go out there and do some work.
I'll just say punch him. Just punch him. Now, by the way, I was looking at some of your, I was going through some of your old fights, man. I couldn't believe it. I was looking at your college wrestling. You beat a guy, Greg Jones, and people don't know this, right? This guy, Greg Jones, was a three-time national champion. His record was 126 wins and 4 losses. Now, one of those losses was to you. He would have won the Nationals 4 times in a row if you hadn't beat him in college. Now, how did that change your life, beating that guy?
You know, it was a big confidence booster for me. And it was just something for me to kind of fueled my whole MMA thing, to be honest, because at that point and after that tournament, I was like, man, you know what? I didn't give everything I had to give to the whole, competing. And I wanted to find something that I compete in again to see what would happen if I really, really just allow myself to just be free and just go at it and just do what I want to do. Because what's happened to me in college is that when I got to college, I had a lot of things going on. I had a baby girl who was 2 years old, and I was away from her. She lived in Niagara Falls, Canada. And, I was struggling with that whole thing, you know, being a father and not being able to see my kid and stuff like that. And it was hard for me because I grew up without a father. So I was like, I didn't want that for my kid. So I was mentally struggling with that, mentally struggling with just my role. And I really never got into my groove in school. And I was trying to wrestle a certain way. And I wasn't wrestling my style. I wasn't bringing that funk. Like normally when I used to wrestle, I used to go out there and just like throw some sauce on and shake my shoulders. Shake my butt. But that was just me. I was just that kind of competitor. I always had to have some kind of frost with me when I competed. And when I got to college, I kind of lost a little bit of that when I went to Michigan State. But that match, I went and just did it. I went and just let it all hang out. I went and just, you know what, just enjoy myself and let it go. And then when I started competing, fighting, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. If you watch some of my old Fight Gladiator Challenge, I used to go out there and just straight clown, like a fool. You know what I'm saying? Because for me, it wasn't even serious for me. It was just like something, something fun to do. And I would go out there and clown, move all kind of way, tweak my nipples, you know what I'm saying? But it was just all fun to me.
Yeah. Now, I mean, was that like, I mean, because I know sometimes like when like you have that amazing set, when you have that thing, when you beat a guy that's a 3-time national champion, there's a part of you go, man, what the fuck am I? Why? What am I doing? Am I just fucking around right now? Like, why am I not at this level all the time? Does that go
through
your head?
Man, that was a big thing for me. I was like, damn, man, I sold myself short, and I wasn't on top of my game like I should be consistently, because I'm like, dude, I have what it takes. It's just the fact that I didn't bring it out for whatever reason. I just didn't bring it out, and I'm like, I gotta start bringing this all the time. This is what I'm capable of doing. I gotta keep this being my standard, and that's why I'm so glad about the whole MMA thing. Like I was saying, like it just gave me another chance to just go out there and compete and really be myself. Sometimes I even have fights where I'm just like, dude, what the fuck were you thinking? Like that's not even you, you know. And I'm at my best when I'm fighting, and I'm out there clowning, and I'm having fun, and the fans are booing, and that's when I'm like, yeah, this is what I like to do. You know what I'm saying? This is what I like. I like that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, obviously you're one of the best in the world. At one point, you were the champion. I mean, you won the Ultimate Fighter at heavyweight, and then you won the UFC championship at 205, and now word is that you might go to 185?
You know, it's something I think about all the time. It's something I think about going to 185 and just challenging myself in different areas, man. You know, I don't know. You know, 205 is I love this being my home for a long time, and 185, it seemed like there'd be some great matchups for me there. But, you know, Adam, I don't want to, you know, put, you know, the cart before the horse. I'm just going to just, you know, see what matchup makes sense for me and keep fighting until, you know, if an opportunity comes to me at 185 and it's better than me at 205, then I drop down to 185.
Right.
But here's the thing. I've never been down that low. I haven't been that low since college, man. I'm short. And I don't look that big, but I'm kind of heavy, man. My bones are heavy or something. I don't know what it is, my legs or whatever, because it's not.
I mean according to a bunch of chicks that I know that like have been with you, they say it's like a huge slong. I'll just so you know, I know a lot of girls that have been with you, and they. No, I'm totally kidding. I'm just kidding. That was the gayest thing I ever said. Now.
Hey. I can't brag on myself on that. You know. I'm not the kind of guy who say that kind of thing, you know, whatever.
I gotcha. Totally gotcha. Now, would you fight Overeem at heavyweight?
Would I fight Overeem at heavyweight?
Yeah.
I mean, if I would have to get a lot bigger, but I mean, if I got big enough, yeah, I'll fight him.
Because we had Anthony Johnson on. He said he would love to fight him at heavyweight. So
I
was just
wondering. I mean, listen. Alistair may have swamped a couple fights and stuff like that, but he's definitely not an easy win on anybody's, you know, stand up. But
yeah.
just a fighter of me, yeah, I would fight him. If it came down, yeah, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'll go up the heavyweight and fight him. But would I choose to do it? No, I wouldn't choose to do it. But if it came down to it, it was like, hey, you know, you can do it, you know what I'm saying, make some good scratch, do it, entertain fans, and yeah, I'll put on somebody and fight him.
So there's pretty much no one that you wouldn't fight?
No, unless, I mean, I like to fight. You know what I'm saying? I like this fight. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, so when you talk about the Greg Jones situation, so now Greg Jones, the guy I beat in college, is my wrestling coach.
No way.
Yeah, he's my wrestling coach. He's a Black Dreams wrestling coach now.
Now, what happened with Kenny Monday, by the way? There's all kinds of rumors that Kenny Monday, did he leave on bad terms, good terms? What happened?
You know, it's, I can't, it just was, it was on,
it was on interesting terms. Is that what you're saying?
Like, it was on interesting terms. It was on interesting terms, but you know, we parted ways, and you know, he's working with Team Takedown. So
yeah,
I don't want to say nothing bad, man. I don't want to say nothing bad about Kenny because I like Kenny Money. Kenny was a good coach.
He's a legend. He's a legend in the sport, you know. But I thought he was doing great work with you guys. But I mean, obviously. I mean, Greg Jones is wrestling probably isn't the weakness at the Black Zillions. I think maybe, you know.
No, you know what it is? Like, a lot of people look at MMA wrestling and like, oh, if I'm a good, good Olympic wrestler or a good college wrestler, then I'll be a good MMA wrestler. Not true at all. Wrestling and MMA comes down to basically transitions. How you transition from your punches to your takedowns. And how you can deceive me that you're either going to do punch or you're going to take me down. If you can keep me guessing and not knowing which one you're going to go, you're probably going to be a good wrestler.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? A good MMA wrestler.
Yeah, look at
and that's the biggest difference. And people really don't see.
Yeah, I mean, look at Jake Rockhold. I mean, 3-time national champion. You know,
right.
he never really he made the UFC. Obviously, he's a great fighter, but he wasn't one of the elite fighters. You know, and a guy like you, who was 48 wins and 34 losses in college, was the UFC champion. You know, so it's
exactly, and that's like for instance, you see DC and Jones all day. DC has him wrestling on paper, but Jones has very, very high level MMA wrestling. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that actually balances out in the fight.
So, who wins that fight? Who wins this fight?
Huh?
Talk to me. Who wins this fight this weekend?
Man, I can't call it. I really can't call it. I booked the fight down many different ways, and it's not a concise answer to me. It really is. You know what it really comes down to more than anything?
What?
It's about DC's pace, being able to be in Jones' face, and being able to give him the threat like he's going to take him down. He doesn't have to land every single takedown, but he has to keep threatening enough to make Jones have to expend energy and fight outside of his normal striking, wrestling kind of pace that he does. You know, Jones is a king at going, you know, meeting the bull right in the horns and going straight for it, right in the mouth, and he'd try to go head-to-head with DC with his wrestling. You know, I won't be surprised if he tries to go head-to-head with DC with his wrestling and really try to take his confidence early, just trying to take him down or trying to show him that he's physically strong enough to be able to get out of any of his takedowns and be able to take him down himself. You know, so I guess, you know, and also, you know, if DC gets caught in Jones' trick bag, you know, and by that I mean, you know, get caught watching Jones, get caught, you know, not having enough footwork to escape, you know, Jones' techniques, and getting caught with his switching stances and his spinning elbows and everything else like that, then it's going to be a long night for DC, or a short one. So, it definitely depends on DC's pace in this fight.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was watching the Bad Blood yesterday with my dad. You know, my dad is not an MMA fan whatsoever. He, you know, everybody, he's like, anytime I watch a fight, he goes, you know, Joe Lewis would have kicked these guys' asses. You know, that's what my dad says. Or, you know, these guys, you know.
Joe Lewis' ass.
He's like, Max Schmeling would have taken these guys in one fight. I mean, that's what my dad says. But we're watching the thing, and he's like, this guy's, Jones is, you know, a foot, 2 feet taller than him, and the other guy's 36 years old. How's he going to beat him? And, Is that a legitimate factor in this?
I don't think age has too much to do with it. It's more as, you know, usually height in MMA really didn't matter for the longest time. And the fact that a lot of guys didn't know how to fight effectively tall. But Jones is one of the first athletes in MMA who really, really showed what having a long reach could do. You know, so he uses his length perfectly. Like there's not a fight there. Oh, maybe Gustafson is another fighter, but I think he learned it from Jones, learned how to fight long like that. So what I mean by that, if you watch Jones when he strikes, and then even when the guys strike him, he always, you know, he always does like a little half moon circle, but he does it like he poses for the Heisman, and he keeps that right hand up. So it really makes it hard to get inside without meeting his arms first and mount a serious attack. And even, you know, even with his feet, having those long feet is really good because he throws that kick to the leg, and it kind of messes up your balance. He times it so well. Right when you step is right when you're probably your most vulnerable. You know, it's just a new step, and as soon as you take your foot down, he checks you in the knee with it, and it really throws off your rhythm. Now, fighting is rhythm. If you don't have that rhythm, then it's really hard to mount an offense. And you see him take out guys really early in a fight just by doing that leg check using his feet, and that has to do with him using his long range.
I mean, does he now? Rampage says that's a kind of a cheap shot that he does, that like front kick to like your thigh, basically, and then like
it's to the knee. It is a cheap shot. It's a cheap shot. I mean, it's not illegal, but it's, you know, it's not like, you know, you can really hurt somebody doing that.
And then as far as now, did when like you fought him, did he poke your eyes?
No, he didn't poke my eyes. He didn't. I caught an elbow and I think that was kind of cheap, though.
I heard from a bunch of guys that train with you guys that in practice you used to rough him up in practice. Is that true?
Yeah, I did. You know, when he was first new and stuff like that, and I used to get it to him a little bit in practice. But you know, we used to go back and forth too. Like we would battle. You know, he was actually one of my best training partners. We had the best training sessions, and with. Then, you know, time, hour after practice, just by going, you know, going to like fantasy moves and just trying different stuff. And it was really cool for like learning, you know, I still got a move I'm going to pull out that me and him was working on.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I want Cormier to win. I'm friends with Cormier. John Jones blocked me on Twitter for making jokes after he got a DUI. I said that people are jumping off the bandwagon because he's driving it. And
that's kind of funny though. You gotta laugh.
Yeah, I mean, come on, he got a DUI and I'm not allowed to make jokes about it. He has a running shoe out because he's not allowed to drive a car, you know, just stuff like that. But you know, when I met Jones, he was a super nice guy. I met him 3 years ago before he kind of became John Jones. You know, I met him like right after the Bonner fight. I think his head got a lot bigger, but whose head wouldn't get bigger in that situation?
Yeah.
You know, but it's just a matter of, you know, maturity, I think, isn't exactly his, like, strongest suit.
No, you know, I think I had a chance to talk with him. I think it was before his fight with Glover in Baltimore when I was out there with AJ. And we got to talking, and seeing like he, you know, it kind of started to come full circle for him. Like, he started to kind of, like, see things differently. And I can see the maturity in him when we talked. And it's like, oh, he sees things differently now. You know what I'm saying? So I seen that he's grown up in that respect. I don't really know him right now, but from what I talked to him, it seems like he's grown up a lot. Just from being in the position that he has been and having experience that he has been, you know, being a champion and stuff like that. So he's grown up a bit, but you know, he has that kind of thing about you. You just don't like a lot of people just don't like. You know what I'm saying? And I think he should embrace it. I think he's the best. In this role, like I'm thoroughly entertained watching, you know, the countdown show, and I'm fully drawn into this whole thing because I kind of like both characters. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like I find myself kind of liking Jones too. Like I'm like, oh, he's not, you know, he's got a cockiness to him, but it's a cool kind of cockiness, and he's a bad guy, but he's also kind of the good guy too. You know what I'm saying? And then you see DC, you know, DC's got that thing about him. DC's funny and DC's a good guy too. So it kind of brings you in a different place, you know, just from, you know, watching the whole build up to this fight.
It sort of reminds me of the Ali Frazier build up back in the day where, you know, Ali was this like cocky, arrogant guy and Frazier was like the working man's fighter. Although to compare Ali to Jones would be really not true. I mean, Ali was also this like guy who stood up against the war and was all for the people and this and that. And it does have that thing of like, Cormier becomes almost like the everyman guy that you can relate to that like is just a good guy, whereas Jones is this like kind of cocky guy with the sunglasses and the beard and I'm better than you and I'm the best athlete in the world and fuck you. You know, it has that thing to it, but who knows? I can't wait for the fight. I cannot wait for the fight.
Now, it's going to be exciting, man. You know, I can't call a man, but you know, DC's a long time friend of mine. We've been boys since college, and even before he started fighting, you know, I was, you know, giving advice on which team he should go to and stuff like that. But I think that in shape DC, a DC that can push him, a DC that is, you know, uses that wrestling and getting close. Because there's thing about DC, once he grabs you, you're getting taken down. That's just nothing about it. He has high level wrestling and the ability to take you down. Now, what I worry about more than anything is the in-between zone.
Yeah.
How's he going to get in between and deal with, you know, Jones's range and even his effectiveness as elbows. Like, there isn't a fighter in the UFC that uses elbows better than John Jones. There isn't one.
Yeah, I do worry, you know? I kind of worry about, like, it becoming like a Vitor Belfort, Anderson Silva front kick, end of the fight, where Jones lands some kind of weird spinning back knee or something, kind of crazy thing, and then the fight's over. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, you know, I think that DC's gonna give him a challenge, yo. I really do, man. I hope he does, man. I love DC. That's my dude, man. So
me too.
I hope so. I think it's gonna be entertaining. I can't wait for this week, man. I cannot wait at all.
Now let's break down the rest of the cards. Cerrone versus Miles Jury. Who do you like?
Miles Jury's a tough guy. Has been, you know, secretly, quietly been making been just on a tear, and you know, his first real step up in competition. Going against, you know, Cowboy, but I still like I like Cowboy. I think Cowboy is in a good place mentally, and I think that, you know, he's kind of finding himself a little bit. And you know, the year before he went on his tear, he had a hard year. He had a hard year where he struggled with inconsistencies, and he just was still, you know, he's facing some demons. But now it seemed like he's made friends with those demons, and now he's just on a tear.
Yeah, it's a tough one to pick. I mean, Jury's undefeated, and I think, you know, nobody wants that first L on their record, right? I mean, obviously you know that. So, man, that's a tough one. But I agree with you. Hector Lombard versus Josh Berkman.
I got to go with Hector Lombard, man. Hector Lombard. You know, the thing, even though, you know, Berkman is my guy, and this is for him a true chance to show, you know, how far he's come in his hiatus away from being from the UFC and his maturity as a person and as a fighter. You know, Josh is, even on the show, The Ultimate Fighter 2, he's always been one of those great guys who you've seen he has so much potential, and you've seen he had all these different things. He thought he was going to really make a splash, but then didn't really have everything else that he needed to make it come full circle for him. And I think now that he has that, having a family, having his kids, having a new focus, having a new chance of being in the UFC, I think this is a different Josh Berkman. But I don't think it's going to be enough against Hector Lombard. I think that Hector is just, he's going to be too strong and too aggressive. And it'd be interesting if Josh can survive the heavy onslaught in the beginning of the fight from Hector, what he's going to do later on in the round, because I think that Hector's biggest weakness is just endurance.
Yeah, by the way, that kind of, I got to ask you, that Abel Trujillo fight, what happened there?
Man, I don't know. He gassed out hard, of course, like everybody's seen, but when it comes down to it, he just needed to wrestle a little bit more and just grind a little bit more sometimes, but sometimes people fall so much in love with one thing, and they fall in love with the power, and he knows he got that one hit to quit, and if he hits you, you're gone. So it kind of messes you up in a bit, because you know you had that tool, and you think that all I need to do is hit him. All I need to do is hit him. Well, you expend a lot of energy trying to hit him.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you're missing, and I'm telling you, a miss punch makes you more tired than an actual lion. So he's missing all these punches, and he's getting tired, and the guy is just moving, and then not next, you know, he's going to come in with his game. And that's what happened.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised that he was able to take that punch from Abel Trujillo, actually.
Man, Abel was probably surprised, too, because he probably thought in his mind, he probably envisioned it in his mind, like, once I hit him, he's gone, but he wasn't gone.
Yeah, that was insane. Now, Brad Tavares, Nate Marquardt.
I like Marquardt, man. It's hard for me to go with Marquardt. Marquardt has been my training partner for a long time, and I haven't trained with him recently, but I like this fight for him. I think that he can definitely get back to the old Nate Marquardt and show that he's still one of the toughest guys in the division.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a good fight. I like Brad too.
Tavares is tough though, man. So you know, I'm picking Nate because Nate is my boy. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard, but it's hard to pick against Brad. Brad is you know, one of my top guys in the weight class because I like his improvement and involvement. So I still got to go to Nate though.
That's exactly why I pick people too. If they've been on our show, I pick them to win. All right, and finally, now we got to talk about. I know you probably, it's a hot button topic, but CM Punk, what's his name? Cole Miller said he can beat half the UFC on the ground. He's going to be in your weight class. No, actually, well, 185 or 170. How do you see this going? I cannot see this going well for CM Punk. I mean, just because Matthew McConaughey plays an astronaut doesn't mean you can send him to space. I mean, this guy, I don't see, he has zero sparring. He may be good at jiu-jitsu, but obviously, as you know, is that going to be enough? How do you see this whole thing playing out?
Well, when you talk about competing in the UFC, you're actually talking about the highest level of mixed martial arts on the planet Earth. And he's never competed mixed martial arts before in his life. So unless he's like an anomaly or like, you know, something absolutely ridiculous, then I don't see it going too well for him, even though I do hope it does, because I actually like, I like CM Punk. I like him a lot. He's a great guy. But I don't, you know, here's the thing that's going to make the biggest difference on whether he actually does well or not. Of course, the matchup, but also in training practice. Like who is he going to train with, and how is he going to help develop him so he's able to even compete?
Well, he's going to Duke Rufus. He's going to. He's going to Duke Rufus Academy. He's training.
Okay, Duke Rufus is an amazing coach. He's an amazing coach. And he has some good training partners who's not going to go in there to try to, like, get a rep off him, because that was part of Kimbo Slice's problem. Kimbo Slice, honestly, he had a lot of potential. He kind of started it late. He had a lot of potential. But the problem with him was, even when he started to get on a scale to try to do MMA, he was never able to evolve because he was always put in a position or he had partners that really wanted to take his head off, and they didn't want to help. They didn't want to work with him, and it made him hard for him to go and train with people.
Really? Did you ever train with him, with Kimbo?
No, he was on the show, and he was supposed to come on our team, but then he was like, no, I can't leave Rampage. He should have came and got some learning in and stuff like that, because that's what it all came about. But he didn't, and he paid the price for
it. Speaking of Rampage, if you beat Glover, do you want to rematch Rampage at all or no?
Well, look. I will fight Rampage. Yeah, for sure. I'll fight Rampage again. I would love to fight Rampage. You know, Dana White out there giving away free money. That's what that would be right there.
You think fighting Rampage would be free money? I mean, he's been on a tear. He beat Joey Beltran. He beat he's won his last couple fights since leaving the UFC. He says he's hungry again. You think it's free money?
I've been a long time fan of Rampage. I like Rampage. You know what I'm saying? We had a thing, but I still like Rampage. But I tell you what, they matched me up against him. Guess what? Dana White out there giving away free money because I'm a whooper.
All right, I love it. Rashad, it is such an honor to talk to you, man. I'm a fan for life. I'm a fan for life. You're a great guy. Are you coming to the MMA Awards this year?
No, I never go to that sort of thing, man. I never go to that sort of thing. I let you guys enjoy it.
Thanks, man. Now, are you going to the fights this weekend?
No, I'm going to sit home and watch it, man. I got my kids in town from Chicago, so I'm just going to sit and enjoy them.
All right. Well, next time you're in L.A., let me know, man.
My man. All right. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks a lot, Rashad. Take care, buddy.
No problem. Bye.
All right, that was Sugar Rashad Evans. Guys, he said a lot. He's a legend in the sport. I think he's underrated, to be honest. I think he's not as talked about in the mix as he should be, because I think he's right up there. I mean, he's right up there. He's got a win over, you know. He's been on a hot streak. He knocks fools out, and I'm a fan for life. So thanks for calling in. Thank you for listening. This week, I will be at the LA Comedy Club at Bally's in Las Vegas Tuesday tonight, Wednesday, which is probably when it comes out, so forget last night, Thursday. No, Wednesday is New Year's Eve. I'm not there Wednesday night. New Year's Eve, no show. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, I'm going to be at the fights, so, and then Sunday. If you want to come, hit me up on Twitter at Adam Comedian or at MMA Roasted. Or my email, hunterthecomic@AOL.com. Yes, I still use AOL. I could keep it real. Hit me up and I'll get you free tickets. So I think shows are at 9 o'clock every single night. T-Rex is on the show too. So come see both of us in Las Vegas. Thank you for listening to the show. Take care and have a great week.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.